Well, experts are weighing in on the summit. John DeLurie, a professor at South Korea's Yonsei University, tweeted that the agreement encourages Kim Jong-un in his readiness to come out into the world for dialogue and making peace. Sung-Yoon Lee is a Korea watcher at Tufts University's Fletcher School. Professor, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And on Twitter, you've been more critical of the agreement. You think President Trump gave up too much for too little.
As expected, it was a resounding success, a dramatic historic moment for North Korea. Of course, a lot of people understandably patronize North Korea. They are, after all, eminently, endlessly mockable. But they're also very good at weaponizing their own weirdness, that is, getting their adversaries to put their guard down and acting crazy, saying crazy-sounding things, and then dramatically coming across as reasonable, as self-effacing, as a global statesman. And we've seen this before. In 2000, the father of the current leader pulled the same act, sent a special envoy to the White House, who carried an invitation from Kim Jong-il to Bill Clinton to come and see him in Pyongyang. And President Clinton was very keen on making that visit, but it didn't materialize because time ran out.
So you're saying we've been there before, but this time the president, of course, did visit with the North Korean leader. My question to you is, do you not believe that Kim is actually going to denuclearize?
I bet you there is not a single person out there among our listeners who would presume, with respect to the eight other nuclear powers, the permanent members of the Security Council and India, Pakistan, and Israel, that it is even remotely possible through artful nuclear diplomacy to get any of those nations to give it up. But when it comes to tiny backward North Korea, we still want to harbor that hope because North Korea has little else. But this is the one panacea, military power, nuclear threatening capability that may enable North Korea one day to overturn this perpetually inferior status vis-a-vis South Korea. Why would they give it up?
I want to ask you about one more thing, which is a video that the White House showed to reporters and the North Korean delegation that President Trump said he had made for Kim Jong-un, styled as a movie trailer portraying Trump and Kim as heroes of a story about two men, two leaders, one destiny. That's a quote. One of whom, Kim, has to make a choice. Take a listen.
Will this leader choose to advance his country and be part of a new world? Be the hero of his people? Will he shake the hand of peace and enjoy prosperity like he has never seen? A great life or more isolation? Which path will be chosen?
Do you think that this is going to run on North Korean state television as propaganda to the people?
No, I'm sure Kim and his cronies had a very hearty laugh after that. The South Korean president tried something like that too, and the intention is genuine, it's well-intentioned, but the application is thoroughly misplaced. The North Korean people are not hungry and poor because their leaders don't have money. The regime, you know, Kim lives like a multi-billionaire, and the regime elites enjoy a good life in the showcase capital city in Pyongyang. In recent years, we've seen fancy high-rises go up, department stores open, fancy water park and dolphinarium, ski resort, and so forth. But according to the UN, 40% or more of North Koreans are suffering from malnourishment, which is one of the highest in the world. So I don't think this kind of patronizing, although well-intentioned message, hey, if you change, we can promise you riches and even grilled meat, as Secretary Pompeo said recently, I think that message will largely fall on deaf ears.
What are you going to be watching for in terms of next steps?
Kim Jong-un may come to the White House. The president has even floated that idea. Kim Jong-un may even speak at the UN General Assembly this fall. Kim Jong-un may visit Moscow. Putin has invited him. And most importantly, Kim Jong-un will, at some point soon, make a visit to southern China. Why? Because in the province of Guangdong, you have the special economic zone, the modern cities of Guangzhou, Shenzhen, Zhuhai, that Deng Xiaoping visited in 1992 as a reaffirmation visit of his policy of reform and opening that Kim Jong-il, the father, visited in January 2001 to make the case that he is the new Deng Xiaoping, the Korean reformer. Mm. So imagine all the excitement. The world will hail the arrival of the second Deng Xiaoping.
That's Sung Yoon Lee, who's a professor of Korean studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts University. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.